All right, everyone, say good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, I want to begin by thanking Yaakov Moshe Nudelman. He's such a good sport. I give him these schedules, and then I change the schedules, and then I rechange the schedules, and he's always always very good. All right, so Mir Tashim, he'll be on next week, but as I'm here, I figured I'd hop around and take advantage of the opportunity to do a couple more blots with you. So we're going to pick up last line of Chaf Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara says again, remember, V'amarat Papi Mishmei Derav Mibei Knisht Labei Rabbanan Shari. Rapapi says that you are permitted to convert a shul into a base medrash. So the Gemara says, Mibei Rabbanan Labei Knisht from a base medrash into a shul that you are not permitted to do. Asur. For Rapapa says, Mishmei Derav, in the name of Rava, Mas Nipcha. Rapapa said the opposite. From a shul to a base medrash, you can't do. But from a base medrash to a shul, you can do. So the Gemara says, Tap of Chavzai. Now, both say, the fundamental dispute seems to be, obviously, this is all going in theme with the previous Gemara, which is that you are permitted to go ahead and make changes in things as long as you are going up a level in Kiddusha. So the fundamental question is, what is a higher level? Now, what are the competing interests? On one hand, a base medrash is used for Talmud Torah. And there is nothing, but Talmud Torah can I get to Kulam, there's nothing more important than Talmud Torah. So one might say the base medrash has the higher Kedusha. On the other hand, a base hakneses was usually used as a public gathering place. So because of that, again, it's used for the rabbim. The fact that it's used for the rabbim may endow it with a greater level of kedusha. To which the Gemara says, "Kavase d'Rav Papi Mistabra." It would appear to be clear that the halacha follows Rav Papi, that indeed you are permitted to go ahead and transform a shul into a base medrash. Tom Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, because Yehoshua ben Levi said, "Beis Hakneses Motul Lasos Beis Medrash." Okay, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says straight out that you are permitted to go out and convert a shul into a base medrash. Shmamina, indeed, learn from this that it would appear to be that it is permissible to convert a shul into a base medrash. Darish Bar Kafra. And we'll say, just so you should know, Darsh Bar Kafra, Bar Kafra Darsh, and Ma'i Dichsiv, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? He's putting over here the Pasuk from Malachim. Pasuk says, Vayistrof es Beis Hashem, Ve'es Beis HaMelech, Ve'es Kol Bat Yerushalayim, Ve'es Kol Bayis Gadol Sarof Be'ish. So it says he burnt, the Beis Hashem is talking about, again, Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis Hashem, the house of the king, and all the homes of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, what does this refer to? The es kol bayis gadol sarof beish. So Beis Hashem, what is Beis Hashem? Ze Beis HaMikdash, that's the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMelech, Elu Paltarin Shal Melech, that's the king's palace. The es kol bati Yerushalayim, Kimashma'al. And when it says he destroyed all the homes of Jerusalem, that's, and again, Kimashma'al means, we'll say what? In the way that it sounds like, meaning he destroyed the actual homes of Jerusalem. The S, so the Gemara says, the S kol bayis gadol sarof beish, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So we'll say, what does it mean when it says that he burnt every large house in fire? So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi have a machlokis. Chad amar makom shemagadlin b'Torah. So one says it refers to a place. What is bayis gadol? A place where they amplify, where Torah becomes great, which refers to what? A base medrash. The Chad amar, the other opinion said, no, makom shemagadlin b'Tefillah. A place where they become great in prayer. So we'll say, you understand what's happening over here? Fundamental dispute as to what Bayis Gadol refers to. We'll say, what they're really arguing about is what? Really, what is the most important home within the Jewish community, aside from the Beis HaMikdash? Is it a shul, or is it a Beis Medrash? So we'll also understand, it's only contemporarily that these two spaces have kind of merged, where very often you see the shul and the base medrash becoming one. So again, clearly, historically, the study hall was separate than the synagogue. Two different places. So the shaila is, which is the bayis gadol? Man d'amar Torah, the one who says bayis gadol refers to the base medrash. Tichsev Hashem chafetz leman sidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. So you see again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Chavetz Laman Sidko, Kadosh Baruch Hu goes out and desires to do good for his people, for his righteousness. Yagdol Torah V'Adir, Torah will be amplified and will be made glorious. So you see over here that the word Gadol is used in connection with Torah. And therefore again, Bayis Gadol must refer to the base medrash. Uman Domer Tefillah, the one who says it's Tefillah, Dichsev Saprana Hagidolos Asher Asa Elisha. Kasyaba said the Navi's talking about that the king was speaking to Gehazi and said to Gehazi, tell me about all the great things that Elisha did. And how did Elisha do great things? Elisha did great things through the medium of prayer. So you see again that prayer is associated with Gadol. So it appears that Rabbi Yehoshua Levi is the one who said that Bayis Gadol refers to the Beis Medrash. Because Rabbi Yehoshua Levi is on record, as we said on top of Amud Aleph, that you are permitted to go ahead and convert a shul into a Beis Medrash. Shmamina, indeed learn from this. So we'll say, Halacha Lemaisa, the Rambam Paskins, that you are indeed permitted to convert a shul into a Beis Medrash, but you would not be permitted to convert a Beis Medrash into a shul. The idea being that the Beis Medrash has the higher level of sanctity, being that Talmud Torah occurs within its walls. Remember again, the Mishnah said that if you sold the Torah, you can't buy Svarim. Remember again, Svarim in the Gemara's model are also scrolls. So I can't sell a Sefer Torah, let's say, buy a Bereshit scroll or a Shemos scroll. So the Gemara says, this is actually a very interesting shayla. Mahu limkar Sefer Torah yashan, likach bo chadash. So let's listen to this shayla. Can I go ahead, and I have an old Torah. I mean, I guess every Torah is technically an old Torah. If somebody wants to tell you a new Torah, I'd be a little bit wary. Right? So again, if somebody has a Torah that was written a long time ago, an old Torah, and I want to go ahead and sell it to purchase the Torah. So now, you ask yourself, why would people do this? So it's amazing, if you look at Sifrei Torah, that are even not so old, 70 years ago, Sifrei Torah that were written in pre-war Europe versus Sifrei Torah that are written now, it's like night and day. It's like night and day. The parchment is much thicker, was much thicker. It's a much heavier, safer. As opposed to us, let's say a person says, you know what, I'd like to sell this Torah. I'd like to be able to purchase a new Torah. So are you permitted to do that? On one hand, you could say like this. On one hand, maybe the halacha is you're only permitted to do things in a way of ascending Kedusha. When you sell one sefer for another, are you going up a level in Kedusha? No, it's a lateral move. It's a lateral move. So maybe that should be aser. Oh, dilma kevan deleke leiluye. On the other hand, pretty much since there's nothing higher than Torah, so maybe a lateral move in this kind of situation is okay. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Tashma, ava mochru Torah lo yichus svarim. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? That if you sell the Sefer Torah, you may not go ahead and use the proceeds to purchase svarim. So the Gemara is medayik. Svarim hu delo. So you can't purchase svarim. Ha Torah b'Torah shapir dami. But what could you do? You could purchase another Sefer Torah. To which the Gemara says, no. Masnisin di'eved, ki kami boilan l'chatchila. Rabbi says, it's interesting. The Gemara answers, the Mishnah is dealing with a different case. When it says here, it doesn't mean di'eved, it means bidi'avad. The Mishnah's case already is where you sold it already. So the Mishnah's case is where you sold it. I have the money in hand. The Mishnah is telling me what I can or I can't do. So it could very well be that everyone will agree that if I already sold the sefer, that I could go ahead and use the proceeds to purchase a new one. But that's not what we're asking. What are we asking? L'chatchila, am I permitted to do it? L'chatchila, am I permitted to do it? Tashma. So the Gemara goes to the Pasuk. Golilin sefer Torah b'mitpachos. We'll say you could wrap a Sefer Torah in the covering normally used for a Chumash. But let's say I have a mantle, I have a cover that's used to cover my Chumash scroll. I can go ahead and use that mantle to cover a Sefer Torah. Chumshin b'mit pachos, Nevi'im. So I could cover a Sefer with the covering of Nevi'im. Uksuvim, avalo Nevi'im uksuvim mit pachos Chumshin. But I can't cover a Nach scroll with the mantle, with the cover for a Chumash scroll. V'lo chumshin v'mitachos Sefer Torah. And I may not cover a Chumash with the mantle, with the covering of a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, now what do we see about it? Katani mihas, golin Sefer Torah, b'mitachos chumshin. Mitpachos chumshin in, mitpachos Sefer Torah lo. So what can I be medai here? I can go ahead and cover a Sefer Torah with the covering of a Chumash scroll. But what can't I do? I can't cover one Sefer Torah with what? With the covering, the mantle of another Sefer Torah. So from here, it's a diuk. So from here, you see that you can't make a lateral move in matters of Kiddusha. To which the Gemara says, well, Amos, if I look at the end of that braisa, v'lo chumshin b'mit pacho Sefer Torah. But yet it says that you may not cover a chumash scroll with a Sefer Torah cover. Ha Torah b'Torah, shapir dami. But it would appear that to cover one Torah with another Torah's mantle would be okay. So rather, ela mehalak ela mashminai. The truth is, you can't infer anything from that braisa. That's the real truth. You can't infer anything. But fine. So we're back to square one. Tashma. Many Abbas say, just it's interesting because so many like halachos that we are familiar with all come from this. Listen to this. Tashma, manichin sefer Torah gabi Torah, v'Torah gabi chumshin, v'chumshin gabi neviim. You can place one sefer Torah on top of another sefer Torah. You can place a Torah on top of a chumash. We'll say, and you understand, of course, I'm not going to qualify it anymore, but whenever we say chumash or neviim, we're talking now scroll form. They're obviously not using book form, right? So scroll form. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're using scroll form here. Chumshin al gabi neviim, you can put chumshin on top of neviim, uksuvim, avalo neviim, uksuvim al gabi chumshin, but you can't place a nach on top of a chumash. Velo chumshin al gabi Torah, and you may not place a chumash on top of a Torah. Torah will say, what do you see from here? You see from here that you're permitted to place one sefer Torah on top of another, which would seem to indicate what? That lamaisa in matters of kedusha, as when you're on the top level of kedusha, it is okay to make a lateral move. In which case, we would assume that lamaisa that would translate into what? That I can sell one sefer Torah and use the proceeds to purchase another. To which the Gemara says, Hanochi kamrit, you're bringing a raya from placement. That's not a good raya. Shiny halacha, hanocha del efshar. We'll say situations of placement are a different parasha because sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes you have to pile things. So if you have to pile things, okay, you could put one sefer on top of another. Because if you don't say this, how would you ever be permitted to roll the Sefer Torah after a water bowl? So what happens when you roll the Sefer? One piece of parchment does what? Rests on top of the other. So the Gemara says, "Alakhevan de la efshar shari." But rather, again, obviously, there are certain things that you don't have any choice, so you do it. It's like it's an important yisod in life. Also, sometimes the question doesn't come up because it just has to be done. So you have no choice but to put a sefer on top of a sefer. Hachanami, kevan de la efshar. Sometimes in matters of storage, you have to stack things. Therefore, shari. Therefore, we'll say it's permitted. But again, you can't bring a raya from this necessarily to our original question. Tashma. So we're back to square one. So the Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishram Shemim Gamliel, Lo Yim Kar Adam Sefer Torah Yashan, Likach Bo Chadash. Okay, I say it's always interesting. You know, we are running all over the place to try to figure out this question, and here we have an explicit brisa. Rabbi Bar Bachana says, "Name Rabbi Yochanan, you may not sell an old Sefer Torah to purchase a new one." Doesn't get more explicit than that. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam mishum pshiusa. We'll say, here's the difference in that case. What Rabbi Rachana was concerned about was what? Is what's going to happen? You're going to sell the Sefer, and then what? You sell the what? You're going to see, wow, look at that. You know, 4 days in Cancun for such a, meaning, you know what happens? You know, when you have the money in hand, suddenly all other kinds of projects come up that you may have to go ahead and take care of, right? We want to get a new coffee urn, and coffee urn is great. But I'm saying, you know, I can't say a cappuccino maker or something. You know, so the idea over there is because of pshius, the pshio. There we're concerned about negligence in that kind of situation. To which the Gemara says, "Hasam mishum pshusa ki kamrinon." What's our case? What's our question? Ki gom dikasiv umanach lefruke. I will say. So, what's our case? Our case over here is that brand new Sefer Torah is mamish sitting right on the surface table. It is ready to go. So, meaning, I'm talking about a situation where there's going to be no lag time between the selling of the old one and an immediate use of the funds to buy a new one. So, there's no concern of pshi of negligence in that case. That's what I want to know. My, what's the halacha in that case? Tashma. So we'll say again, we still haven't answered it. Tasha Dom Rabbi Yochanan Mishramir, a mochrin sefer Torah. You are not permitted to sell a sefer Torah except in the following circumstances. Elo, lilmo Torah. Meaning, I both say, let's say halacha lemaisa. I'm a Talmud Chacham, and I want to go ahead. Let's say I want to become a Talmud Chacham, and I need to sit and learn. But they both say, you know, again, the automatic assumption is that if somebody is going to sit and learn, they have to find a way to support themselves. Right? That is the Gemara's default position. You need to, okay. You want to sit and learn. Wonderful. You need to figure out how you're going to make that work. So what happens is I have a Sefer Torah. I'm going to sell my Sefer Torah, and I'm going to use those proceeds to allow me to sit and learn. So the Gemara says, I'm permitted to do that. Velisa Isha, get married. Get married, which also, what does it mean to get married? Literally means I'm going to sell my Sefer Torah to pay for my wedding. I'm permitted to do that. And the Lilmo Torah Velisa Isha. Shema Minah. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the fact that I could sell my Torah to go ahead and support me while I'm sitting and learning indicates that what? That the Gemara assumes that what that means is you could sell one Torah for another. Because in essence, that's what I'm doing. I'm selling a Torah in order to be able to sit and learn Torah. So the Gemara says, Shema mina Torah, but Torah shapir dami. So you see from here what? That you're permitted to sell, quote unquote, an old Sefer in order to go ahead and purchase a new Sefer. To which the Gemara says, no. This is Rav Hosea, such a profound Gemara. Dilma shiny limud. Maybe learning Torah is different. Why? Shahalimud mevi lidei maisa. Rav Hosea, this is amazing. Maybe the difference is like this. I am permitted to go ahead and sell a Sefer Torah. Why? Because learning is even more important than the Sefer itself. Why? Because the learning enables me to do. Such a profound yisod. The learning enables me. The limud is maybe lidei maisa. So in essence, really, when I sell a Sefer Torah to sit and learn, Rabbi will say, what am I doing? I'm actually going up a level. Because the Sefer Torah itself is what? Is limud Torah, is Talmud Torah. But the sitting and learning, hopefully, is not just sitting and learning for learning's sake, but it's sitting and learning so that I know what to do, I know how to act, I know how to serve, I can contribute even more. So therefore, again, that's even considered to be selling it for a higher level. But for just a lateral move, an old Sefer to a new Sefer, maybe not. Similarly, Ishanami, I'm permitted to sell a Sefer to get married. Why? Lo sohu bora la shav. Because they both say, what happens when I get married? Emir Hashem, I'm going to start a family. And what am I doing? So it means I'm contributing to the world around me. So then it's such a profound yisod. So the notion of selling a Torah that will then enable me to contribute something back to society, to the world, that's a higher use of that Torah. But that doesn't necessarily mean that what? That I could go ahead and sell an old Sefer in order to purchase a new one. Aval Torah b'Torah lo. But to go ahead and sell one Torah for another Torah, that is not permitted. We'll say, Tanra Rabbanan lo yimkar adam Sefer Torah af api shin tzarech lo. Should tzarech lo. We'll say, that's it, you should know. That's how the Rambam Paskins that we do not sell one Sefer Torah for another. We do not sell one Sefer Torah for another. Halacha l'maisa. So the Gemara says, again, also there are always exceptions to all of these rules, but as a general klal. So the Gemara says, yes, sir, I came. Listen to this. Let's say the shul has 10 Sefer Torah. We don't need to say 10 Sefer Torah, but you know what? We could really go ahead and use the money. So you can't go ahead and sell a Sefer even if you don't need it. I'm sorry? You can sell it, correct. So that I could go ahead and sell it to another shul. It's talking about over here that selling it and using and the proceeds for me. So I mean, what the Gemara's Havamina is that I might have thought that Lemaisa, the only time I can sell it is when I need it. But if I really don't need it because my Torah needs are met, you still can't do it. Yes, okay, Rabbi Shabbat Gamliel said, listen to this, Afilu ein lo ma yochal. We'll say, even if you have nothing to eat, Umachar Sefer Torah obito, eino roen simen brachal yon. We'll say it's very profound. The Gemara says that sometimes people are in states of desperation. So a state of desperation, just understand, there are certain things you're going to do that are never going to work out well for you. Meaning, number one, is selling a Sefer Torah. The notion of selling a Sefer Torah, right, because even if you don't have anything to eat, it's not going to work out well. You won't see bracha from that. And the other example the Gemara gives is what? Selling one's daughter as a maidservant. Also, the Torah makes an allowance for this, that a father is permitted to go ahead and sell his daughter as a maidservant. Technically, it's allowed to. The Gemara already says, just telling you, bad idea. Even though technically you can do it, you won't see bracha from such an endeavor. Gemara goes weiter. Now we're going to get into a very interesting discussion. So the Mishnah said that if you sell something, if you sell an item of kiddusha, so remember again, the klal the Mishnah said is you have to use the proceeds for something higher, of higher kiddusha. And that's just the Gemara says, Mosrein also means any leftover funds. So what it sounds like it's saying is what? Let's say I sold my Chumash scrolls. And I sold my Chumash scrolls for $35,000. And I can get a brand new Sefer Torah for $5,000. So the Gemara, the Mishnah seems to teach me that what? The entire amount of $35,000 is all sanctified. So meaning, even though now I have $5,000 left over after the purchase of the Sefer Torah, that leftover amount is still governed by that heightened level of Kedusha. So this is what I'll say. Amar Rava, lo shanu ela shemachru v'osiru. That's only true assuming what? That they sold the items, and then there was leftover monies, right? They purchased the item of higher Kedusha, and there were leftover monies. Bosa, listen to this. Aval govu v'osiru. Bosa, let's say, this is very important, because this is a din in tzedakah. Let's say I collected money for a Sefer Torah. We did a Sefer Torah drive, and what happened? Sefer Torah cost $30,000, and what? We raised $40,000. So what's the status of that extra 10? So now the Gemara says, "Avagavavo siru mutter." But if you collect it and there's leftover monies, mutter. And I will say, what does mutter mean? Rashi says, "Avagavu maos minat sibor latzorach sefer Torah ukenau." So we collected money for a sefer Torah from the sibor, and we purchased the Torah. V'noser biadam minadamim. And now I went ahead and there's leftover money. Mutter loho redone. Shahari adayin lo bolu shimish lush chamur. I will say, what is this? Very important. Very important klal in fundraising, in tzedakah, which is that now I needed $30,000 for the safer. I have an extra 10. What can I use the 10 for? What is the 10 for? Anything we need. I was going to say anything I want, but that doesn't sound right. Right now, not anything I want. Right? Anything that's obviously it's most hectic. It belongs to the tzibur. It belongs to tzedakah. But I need not use it for a sefer. So if I want to choose to go ahead and pay the shul BGE bill with it, I want to choose to put in a new air conditioning unit, I want to choose to put in new chandeliers, new seats, new whatever. When I say I mean the Gabbai Tzedakah, whoever's administering the funds, has that right. So very important yisod. So when do we say that all monies have the kedusha of the item that was sold? That's only when there was an actual sale. But if there's a collection, and the collection surpassed that which we need to buy the item of Kiddusha, the additional funds are not, don't have that heightened level of Kiddusha, but rather it can be used for anything else.
But that's not what Moshe did at the Mishkan.
That's the, Mishkan was different. Correct. Mishkan was a different situation also. Moshe said he had enough, and not only that, miraculously, when he said he had enough, there was even more than they needed. Correct. The Mishkan was a different, you saw that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted everyone's money to go directly into the Mishkan. See, he was operating on a different structure or different set of instructions, but by regular tzedakah collections, again, we're not saying that's halacha l'maaseh yet, this is what's being put forward. Esve Abaye said, Medra Mamurim, when is this true? B'shlo husnu. This is only true in what? When they did not make a condition. Aval hisnu, afilu dechsus yomoter. But if they made the collection, but if they made a condition, then you could even use the money for dechsusya. We'll see what dechsusya means. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hechi dami, what's the case? Ilei meshamach revosir. If we're talking about a case of, let's say, where you sold chumashim, okay, and now you're going to use the money to purchase a sefer Torah, and there's leftover monies, ki hosnu my havi. Who cares what you stipulated, what you didn't stipulate? We just established that what? That lamaisa, whenever there is a sale, all of the monies of that sale have the heightened level of kedusha. Ela shegavava osiro. Rather, it must be a case of where we've taken up a collection. V'tayma dehisnu. And the only reason you could use the additional funds for something else is because they made a tanai. Halo hisnu lo. But apparently, if they didn't make a tanai, you would not be permitted to. So we don't understand the statement, which the Gemara says, no. The olim shemachruva osiro. What's the case? The case over here is where they sold the chumashim and there's leftover monies that they don't need to purchase sefer Torah. This is what it means to say. B'medra amurim shelo husnu shiva tuve ha'ir b'me'amad anshe ha'ir. Rabbi will say, when do we say that lemaisa? If they went ahead and they sold the chumashim, that all of the proceeds of that sale are governed, are considered to be kodesh, and that they all must be used for a higher purpose. That's only if what? The seven elders of the city did not make an explicit stipulation in front of the members of the city. Aval, hisnu shiva tuvia ir b'mamad an she'ir. But I will say, if the seven elders of the city stipulated this in the presence of the members of the city, afilu l'dechsusya nami mutter. They could even use the monies for dechsusya. So we'll say, before we get into what dechsusya is, which the Gemara will define in just a moment, so we'll say, what's interesting about this is the following. What the Gemara is suggesting now is like this. Everyone's going to agree that when you do a fundraiser, and you're fundraising for X, and you need a certain amount of money for X, once you hit that amount, surplus funds can be used for any other tzibur need. However, again, when you sell, so the assumption is, now this time when you sell an object of Kiddusha, the proceeds of that sale are governed by the heightened level of Kiddusha. And therefore all the monies must be used for that additional Kiddusha amount. However, if the, we'll call it the leaders of the city, stipulate that when it comes to this sale, the community or the leaders of the community should have the right as to how to use the surplus funds of that sale, then the leaders of the community, with the agreement of the community, have the right to make that stipulation. So the Gemara goes weiter. So Abaye said to one of the rabbis, who was arranging the Mishnayos of Rav Sheshes. Mishmi v'chamei Rav Sheshes ma'i duchsusya. Have you ever heard, what is the meaning of this word duchsusya? Right, so the Gemara said just before that if the elders of the city stipulate this in front of the residents of the city, they could use the money even for duchsusya. What is duchsusya? Armali ha'achim Rav Sheshes, parsha demasa. So we'll say parsha demasa means a courier. Duchsusya means a courier, that meaning that if the elders of the city stipulate in the presence of the residents of the city that they could even use the surplus funds to pay for a town courier. I guess sometimes Rashi explains some towns used to like to have a guy on call, so should they need to send word to the king or to the governor or to someone, that somebody would be ready to ride on a moment's notice. You could even use money like that. Again, we'll say it has to be used somehow for some type of communal infrastructure, but even for duchsusya. So this is interesting. Amar Abaye Abaye said, Hilchach, So what do you see from here? If a Talmud Chacham hears a word that he does not understand, just ask someone who hangs out with rabbis a lot. Because what's going to happen? Again, essentially, if you hang out with smart people, you hang out with Talmidei Chachamim, so the truth is you pick up a lot of stuff even just through osmosis, even just by being around. The converse is also true, of course. So the Gemara says again, Rabba Amar. So the Gemara says, excuse me, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah Rabbi Meir. Bnei Ha'ir, I'll say another, these are fascinating halachos. Bnei Ha'ir, Shehochu Le'ir Acheres, Upaskali in Tzedakah. But I'll say, listen to this. Let's say you have members of one city who go to another city. So you went to another city. When they were in that other city, I will say we don't have this really today, but in the era of organized communal structures, there were tzedakah taxes. So a community would impose a tzedakah tax on its constituents. And again, remember, they also had the powers of enforceability. So they would impose the tax. So let's say we all decide we're going to finish Pesachas Megillah Mir Tosha Monday. I'm sorry? Is it tax? But that's willing. I'm saying that I still have Rabbi Hanuman can't force me. I don't think so. So the idea is I still have to willingly give that. I'm talking about an idea of a tax that is levied upon the residents. So we'll say again, so now listen to this. So now what's fascinating over here is, let's say again, we go as a group, we live in Baltimore, we decide to go to another city, and while we're there, again, they happen to be taxing the residents of the city, tzedakah tax. What's the halacha? It's very interesting. So nosnin. I will say, if we are there at the city at the time where the tax is being levied, we have to pay. We have to pay, but yet, listen to this. Ukashain button, but when we leave the city, Mavian Osima, and it's like at the airport, right? They refund the VAT, right? Right? What happens? So when I leave, they give me back my money. The tzedakah gives me back my money. Umifarnasin ba b'nei Iran. But obviously now I have to use that money for tzedakah purposes, but I could use it to feed the poor of my city. Both say, understand what's happening over here. What's happening over here is like this, is that essentially if I am in a city and there's a tzedakah collection going on, it is inappropriate not to go ahead and participate. It doesn't look right if I don't participate. On the other hand, I'm not a resident of this city. Therefore, again, I don't really have responsibility for this city. I have greater responsibility for what? For the poor of my city. So I have to give for the appearance sake of giving. But when I leave, they give me back my money. But again, that is tzedakah money, but I'm permitted to spend it. I'm not permitted. I have to spend it on the poor of my city. We'll say, now, there are other qualifications to this. This is talking about we're only visiting. If somebody obviously is relocating, then l'maisa they become like the residents of the city. So the Gemara says, "Tanya nami hachir b'risa that supports this." So if you have residents of one city, they went to another city. Upaskwale in tzedakah. And in the new city, so they're doing a tzedakah drive. There's tzedakah being levied upon the residents. Nostin. So the visitors have to give. But when they return to their original city, they are refunded their tzedakah money, and they use those funds in their original in their home city. However, we'll say that's talking about a group. If you notice, if an individual however goes to another city, and what happens? So I go on vacation, and what happens? I go to another city, and while I'm there, they go ahead and they impose a tzedakah tax. So okay, I'm there. I have to pay. You can't be Polish minatzi borabosai. You have to go. You have to, you know, when in Rome, you have to contribute like the residents of the city. Upasla tzedakah. Listen to this. So tinan. So I have to tinasin. I have to give them. So excuse me. Tinasin la aniye osayir. Boss, listen to this. If I'm an individual, however, I pay, and what? It does not get refunded. Well, I pay and bless you, and that money goes to the residents of that city. Why, Rabbos, bless you? Because again, as a yachid, as an individual, so I am subsumed. I come under the umbrella of the rabbim. If we're there as a group, and therefore we maintain our identity as a group from another city, then the maisa we give because you have to participate, but the money is refunded to give in our city. But if I'm a yachid, I essentially become like one of the residents of the city, and I have to give, and my money does not get refunded. Rav Huna, Rabbos, and always tell a story. Rav Huna goes to Tanisa. Rav Huna decreed a fast day. Let's assume for a moment because of rain. So Rav Chana Bar Chanilai, who lived, I guess, in a neighboring city, came along with all of his other city members. So what happens? Ramu Alei Tzedakah. So as it was a fast day, Rav Huna decreed that everybody who was gathered for the tefillah should go ahead and give tzedakah. V'yavu, and again, Rav Chana Bar Chanilai and all the people who came with him from his city gave tzedakah because that's not halacha. But kibol lemeisei, when they were ready to go back home, Amrul, they said to Rav Huna, no sva lon mar venezel, venefarnes ba'ani emasyon. They said to Rav Huna, listen, give us back our money, let us go home, and we're going to use the money to support the poor of our city. Amrul, so Rav Huna said, well, one second, Tanina, we learned, pabed rama murim, what is that true, that you have to refund the money to a group that's visiting? B'she'in sham chaver ir. That's only what Rabbi say. That's only talking about that in this city that they're visiting, there's not a chavir. So what does chavir mean? Rashi says, Tamid Chacham hamisasik b'tzarchei tzibor. We're a Tamid Chacham who occupies himself with the needs of the community. Aval yesh sham chavir ir. But if there is a chavir ir there, tinasin l'chavir ir. Then the group does not get their money refunded back, but the money is administered by the chavir ir. The kol shekein, and Rav Chana Bar Chanilai said, Rav Huna said, to Rav Chana Bar Chanilai, kol shekein da'aniye didi v'didachu alai samichi. And all the more so, where the poor of your city and the poor of my city depend on me. Bless you. What was happening over here is Rav Huna essentially said to Rav Chana Bar Chanilai, am I saying that right? Yeah, Rav Chana Bar Chanilai, that's what? I'm not refunding your money. You know why? Because I administer the tzedakah needs of all of the surrounding cities. Therefore, the Maisa, because your aniyim are dependent on me, and my aniyim are dependent on me, I have the right to hold on to these funds and ultimately use them for the poor of both of our cities. Okay.
Does it have to affect the giver's people?
Does it say that again?
So it has to, the giver gives something, but the person that's holding the money gives it back to the town, including the giver's town.
That is correct.
Does that have to happen?
Yes, it had that, and that's the Gemara is setting it up. That again, because Rav Huna took care of the poor of not just his town, but of Chana Bar Chanilai's town. Therefore, again, what the Gemara is essentially saying is there's no need to transfer the money back because the money is going to be used for the poor of that other town as well. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Says the Mishnah. Very profound, you saw it as well. You can't take something that belongs to the general populace and sell it to an individual. Why? Because essentially you're going ahead and you are lessening its kedusha. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Amar lo, im kain. So they said to Rabbi Meir, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Meir, im kain. So we'll say again, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is you can't take something that is used for the rabbim and go ahead and sell it to a yachid because essentially by doing that you are lessening its holiness. So the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Meir, if that's the case, you shouldn't take something that belonged to a small city, a large city, and be able to sell it to a small city because you're also taking it down from its kedusha. So the Gemara says, Shapir kamerli Rabbanan Rabbi Meir. The rabbis are saying good to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir will say what? Meir gedol liir ketana meikar kedusha hashtanami kedusha. So Rabbi Meir will say this. It's not true. I will say an ir gadol ir katan. The idea is what? It's not a numbers game. What is it? It's a rabbim versus yachid. So when you have something that belongs to the rabbim, whether the rabbim is of 10,000 people or the rabbim is 50,000 people, it doesn't make a difference. It's a rabbim. And therefore, to sell something from a large city to a small city, that's not diminishing its kedusha. The only problem is when you take something that belongs to the public and you sell it to an individual. However, kedusha merabim liyachid like a kedusha. The rabbanan say no. If you're really going to be so concerned with this, then what? So you should also be concerned with selling something from a large town to a small town. Why? Because it's not true. There is a concept that numbers themselves do make a difference, because we know the greater the assembly, the greater the sanctification of God's name. Therefore, the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Meir, and they say, no, it can't be. You should be able to take something that belongs to the general public and sell it to an individual. On that same theme, Ein mochrin beis hakneses ela al tanabos. Said this is very interesting. You can't sell a shul. Or I should say differently. You have to sell a shul with a condition. Well, so whenever you sell a shul, it's with a condition. What's the condition? It's very interesting. Shem yirtzu yachziruhu. Divrei Meir. I'm supposed to listen to this. So Meir says, whenever you sell a shul, you always have to sell a shul with the condition that if the sellers want to renege, they have the ability to renege. Okay, they have the ability to renege. Rashi says over here the following: Afil ela al tanai, afilu mi rabim le rabim, asra Rabbi Meir mechiras chalutin the derech bizayonu. She was like Rabbi Meir says like this. He holds that to sell a shul, a permanent sale, that's a lack of covet to the shul. Therefore, every single shul that is sold must always have a reversal clause. You must always have the ability to cancel. So obviously, if you cancel the sale, you have to return. You have to return the money, thank you. The money, right? You gotta return the money back to the purchaser. So the idea is that every single sale always has a cancelability clause, a void clause. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir is not saying it because the person is going to use it. Rabbi Meir is saying it's just a bakavadik way. If you have to sell a shul, that's just a bakavadik way to sell it. Yeah, more so, correct. Now, again, it's a legal clause, so technically speaking, you could pull the trigger on it, but Lamai said it's not done because you're actually going to use it. It's done to show that I don't really want to engage in this sale, but I'm doing it because it has to be done. V'chom say, mochino samem ka'olim. Chom say, no, you can sell a shul in a permanent fashion. Chutz me'ever drum. Also, there are four things, however, that you can't sell the shul for. What are those four things? Lemerchatz, a bathhouse, borsiki, a tannery, tvila, a mikvah, Besamayim, a laundry. Rabbi Huda says, and we'll say those are all considered to be uses that are not bakavadik. Rabbi Huda says, Mochran osel l'shem chatzar, v'alakech mashi yirti yasher. We'll say, Rabbi Huda has a very interesting approach. Rabbi Huda says, listen, when you're selling something, we'll say, you can't start getting into what the purchaser is going to use it for, because sometimes if you're selling a structure, you need the money. You need the money. So Rabbi Huda says, you know what? I'm selling it, when I sell the shul, I sell it as a chatzar. I'm selling it just to be used as a courtyard. And I don't ask, essentially a don't ask, don't tell policy. I'm not asking what you're doing with it. I'm not asking how you're going to use it. I'm selling it l'shem chatzar, that's it. Well, Rabbi Meir.
The previous mission just said that you can't even sell
something. So that's, again, we don't, obviously, when the Mishnah is not passing like that. That was Rabbi Meir, we're not passing like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara goes right there. Rabbi Meir, hechi dariba. Ha-ha-vi-le-ribis. Rabbi says, interesting question. You know, the Gemara says like this. According to Rabbi Meir, who says that every single sale of a shul has to have a voidability clause, so you get into a problem of ribis. Both say, of interest. What's going to be the problem? So let's play this out. So let's say again, let's say I'm the president of the shul. So I'm selling the shul to Reuven. So now again, I sell the shul for $100,000. Reuven's doing whatever he is doing it. Then I decide a month later, you know what? I missed my shul. I void the contract. I give him back his money. What's the problem? The problem now is I give him back his money. He's been, whatever he's been, let's say he's been living in that shul for the last month, which now means what Rabbi Osai, he has received additional benefit above and beyond the money that he gave me. That's called interest. So how can you go ahead and have such a transaction like this if there's ribis? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, B'shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Amra, Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Huda. The Amr Tzad Echab Ribis was there. We'll say, again, because of time, we'll just have to do this quickly. There's a concept called Tzad Echab Ribis. Tzad Echab Ribis means, normally, Tzad Echab Ribis means that you have a transaction that doesn't automatically end up being an interest problem. You could have a transaction where only if the transaction goes down one way will there be an interest problem, but if it goes down a different way, there's no interest. So for example, if Reuven buys the shul, technically speaking, there is no interest involved with that. The only time the interest problem comes up is if I choose to void the sale. Then that triggers a potential ribis issue. That's called tzad echad beribis. One side of a ribis, it doesn't translate well in the English, literally, a transaction that has a possibility of ribis, but doesn't necessarily absolutely result in ribis. So Rabbi Huda holds that tzad ech, what we call tzad ech meribis, is mutter disanya harishaya no shebechavei ramana. Let's listen to this case. If I lent my friend money, I lent my friend Amana, I lent him $1,000. Va'asal osadeu mecher. And what happens? My friend, so I lent Reuven $1,000, and Reuven gave me his field. He's also Sadeo Mecher, meaning that Reuven essentially went ahead and gave me his field as a collateral that in the event that I can't go ahead and, repay it, and it really literally means he gave it to me as a sale. He gave it to me as a sale. What it means is he gave it to me in the event that he can't pay up. Bizman Shemocher Ochal Peros Mutter. So both say, as long as the seller Reuven is eating the fruit of the field, as long as the original owner is the one who's reaping the benefit of the fruits, the transaction is Mutter. Lokech Ochal Peros Osir. But Rabbi say, what happened? If I, the lender, am eating the fruits of the field, that's usher. Well, so why is that usher? Because Maisa, that's ribis. Because now I'm getting something additional. Not only am I getting the field, but I'm also getting the fruit. Rabbi Huda says, no, afil lokeach ochal peros mutter. Rabbi Huda, this is not true. Even if the purchaser, in this case the purchaser is the lender, it's me, is eating the fruit, that's okay. So what Rabbi will say, what's the logic behind that? Because it would appear to be that this is again sat echad beribis. It may or may not be interest. Because if it turns out that Lamaisa Reuven does not go, if it turns out that Reuven does pay me back, then you're right, then eating the fruit is ribis. But if it turns out that Reuven never paid me back, then what? Then the land was mine the whole time, in which case, whose fruit was I eating? I was eating my fruit. So that's called, again, tzad echad beribis. The transaction doesn't definitively result in interest, but there's a possibility of interest. And again, Rabbi Huda says, there was once an episode with Baitos Ben Zonon, who did this. He borrowed money from someone. He borrowed money from a creditor. He gave his field over to a creditor, and he did this with the instruction of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And who was eating the fruit of the field? It was the creditor. So again, what do you see? So the Gemara says, "Amar Misham Raya." We can't bring a raya from there. First of all, Mocher Ochal Peros. So you got your facts wrong, right? First of all, it wasn't the creditor who was eating the fruit, but rather who was it? It was the actual owner of the field, i.e., the borrower who was eating the fruit. Therefore, there's no ribish shaila in that. So the Gemara says, "My Benai." We're both saying, "What are they arguing about?" Tzad Echa Beribis Ika Benai. What they're arguing about is, again, Rabosai, this transaction that will not definitively result in ribis, but could result in ribis. Mar Sefer, one opinion holds, Tzad Echa Beribis Mutter, Umar Sefer, Tzad Echa Beribis Aser. So Rabosai, this seems to be what they're arguing about. Again, Rabosai, and this all goes back to the Mishnah. So if you have this voidability clause in the contract of sale for the shul, that could result in ribis. So do we say that a transaction that could result in ribis is Aser or not? That seems to be the Machlokes. Rava Amar says no. Kuli Amar Tzad Echa Beribis Aser. Not Rabosai, everyone agrees that Tzad Echa Beribis, that any transaction that even has the possibility of ribis is going to be aser. V'hacha beribis amanas lahachzir. I will say here, you know what they're arguing about? I'll say they're arguing about is, what is the halacha of a transaction that results in ribis, but the ribis will be returned? Let's say you have a case, like let's say in this case, so let's say now I sell the shul to Reuven. Reuven knows I have a voidability clause. I void it a month in. So what's going to happen now? What is Reuven always going to have to do? So I'm going to refund the money to Reuven. And what is Reuven going to have to do? He's going to have to give me rent for the last month of the shul. So I'll say that's, so again, did the transaction effectively result in ribis? Did it result in ribis? Yes, but he's going to pay back the ribis. So this is interesting, Shiloh. Are you permitted to structure a ribis transaction knowing full well that the ribis will be returned? So the Gemara says, Marasav ribis amanas lahachzir mutter. So one opinion holds that ribis amanas lahachzir is mutter. Umar savar. So one says again, as a transaction, as long as you know from the beginning of it that you're going to return the ribis. So one says such a transaction is mutter. Umar savar. The other opinion holds that such a transaction is aser. All right. So I have to stop over here. I don't even have to say it. All right, Yeretz Hashem, 5:45 tomorrow.